Chapter 43. Lorraine Frazetta nearly lost it at the sight of Vic Prado walking through her front door. Gino, one of the Tweedle dumbbells, had buzzed him into the house just as Lorraine was coming down the stairs. When Vic caught sight of her, he smiled and winked. Lorraine flushed, a now familiar heat rising inside her. She was dressed in a black silk robe, hair up, her too heavy makeup already on.
"Getting ready to go out for the evening?" Vic said to her. "Mike's taking me out for a late dinner in a little while."
Her voice cracked. She cleared her throat.
"Gino, do me a favor. Go get me a bottle of water from the fridge."
He stayed put.
"Boss says I'm supposed to watch the door."
Lorraine wasn't in the mood to debate.
"Get me a fucking bottle of water, Gino."
"Hey, baby," Vic said when the muscle was gone.
"You're looking fine."
"You too. What are you doing here?"
He nodded toward Mike's study. "I was hoping to see you, and I was summoned."
"I need to be with you again."
"Soon, baby. I'm heading to Paradise to see an old friend. I'll call and we can set something up."
"Here's your water,"
Gino said, thrusting out a hand so big it nearly covered the entire bottle. Vic shook his head.
"Manners, Gino, manners. This is the boss's wife you're talking to."
Unfazed, Gino gave Lorraine the bottle and turned to Vic.
"He's waiting for you inside."
"Nice to see you, Lorraine," Vic said. "Have a pleasant dinner." Lorraine nodded and started back upstairs, knees weak. When Vic headed to Mike's room, Gino flipped him the bird. Vic knew it was trouble when he saw that the huge TV was black and Mike was pacing back and forth in front of it. If that didn't spook him enough, Mike's face didn't light up the way it usually did when Vic walked into the room. All sorts of bad thoughts swelled in Vic's head. Had Mike found out about him and Lorraine? Vic's heartbeat quickened, even as he told himself that there was no way Mike could know about what had happened between him and Lorraine the previous day. Vic had been very careful. He had instructed Lorraine to leave her cell phone at home so that it couldn't be used to track her. He had arranged for a cab to pick her up from where he'd had her park. He'd even followed the cab in his rental to make sure the cab wasn't being followed. He'd made sure to meet Lorraine on a day when he knew Joe Breen was too busy doing other work for Mike to be following him around. Vic's equilibrium didn't improve any when he saw Joe Breen was seated in his usual chair, a sullen scowl on his face. Breen was looking worse for wear, much worse. There were bandages on his left cheek and along the left side of his neck.
"Jesus, what the hell happened to you?"
Mike Frazetta answered the question.
"That's why I called you."
"I'm not following you, Mike," Vic said. "What's Joe's face got to do with why I'm here?"
Breen spoke up. "That fucking little shite near killed me. Slashed my face and neck with glass. Missed me jugular by an inch. Joe and the kid bled all over my caddy. Car'll never be the same."
On the one hand, Vic was relieved this meeting wasn't about his tryst with Lorraine. At the same time, he got a sick feeling in his belly.
"You didn't kill the kid, did you? Jesus, tell me you didn't."
"Hell no," Mike said. "But Joe did have to protect himself, and he roughed the Salter kid up pretty good."
Vic was curious.
"How good?"
"Broke the little bastard's nose, maybe his jaw, and I suppose I juiced him one or two times extra."
Vic slammed his palms together.
"Shit, we didn't need this."
"What's with the wee shit, Vic?" Mike said. "Where's the risk for you? It ain't your ass hanging out there. You're out front, smiling, shaking hands, and busy being famous. What was Joe supposed to do? You do dirty work, and sometimes everyone gets dirty. All Joe was doing was going to free the kid, for Christ's sakes."
Joe Breen fought the urge to smile. For the first time in all the years they had known each other, Mike was taking his side against Vic, and strongly, too. It was almost worth the stitches and the blood.
"Okay, you're right. I'm sorry, Joe. I guess you had no choice," Vic said. "So where does that leave us?"
Mike didn't answer right away. He rubbed his cheeks with his right hand, twisted up his mouth.
"You know, Vic, we've done good together since you came to me with this scheme. And because we've done so good, I didn't object too loud when you came to me with the idea of going after Coastline. But I never really liked the deal. The other companies we bought pieces of,
They were already pretty compromised, you know? We knew they were working some pretty shady deals and had no choice but to give in when we made offers. Hell, most of them were kind of grateful to share in the wealth. But it was risky with Coastline. The stuff we had on them was minor shit. It was enough to get their attention, not enough to really push them to give us a piece of their pie. But hey, like I said, we had done so well, I was willing to give it a shot.
I feel a butt coming on, Vic said. Mike nodded.
You was always smart that way, Vic. You're right. So here's what's what. I decided that we're going to walk away from this Coastline Consultants thing. It just doesn't feel right to me. It didn't to begin with. And the thing with the girl, he said, crossing himself. And now with this kid. Too much trouble.
Vic could feel beads of sweat rolling down his back, gluing his shirt to his skin.
But we got the papers. We're right there, Mike. Funny, it don't feel that way to me, Vic. It still feels like a reach, even though we got the papers in hand. And all this blood, I don't like it.
Far back as I remember, you never minded a little blood.
For Christ's sakes, Mike, this whole ball started rolling only after Joe took care of the guy from the SEC.
Vic pointed at Breen.
And he for sure never minded blood, no matter how much or how little.
Innocent blood is different. The girl, the kid, they were civilians, Mike said. And besides, it was you who suggested we use the kid for leverage. Seems to me your fingertips are a little red themselves, no?
I didn't tell him to murder some poor girl or to beat the shit out of the kid. That's not what I meant by leverage, Mike, and you know it.
Like I said, when you do dirty work, the dirt tends to get spread around.
But, Mike held up his right palm to Vic.
My mind's made up, Vic. You had your say. You don't like it, I get that. Too bad. Time to cut our losses.
So what are we going to do?
Breen's mouth took on a cruel aspect, and he made a kind of chuffing, self-satisfied noise.
We, Mike said, we aren't going to do anything. But you're going to make with the carrot and the stick. You're going to make a gesture by giving him the paperwork back and telling him Coastline is all his and his brother's. You're going to tell him that you and your backers regret how things came about. You're going to express our condolences and tell him that it ends here.
Vic laughed a laugh as disconnected from joy as a pulled tooth.
You think Harlan Salter is just going to take the papers and thank me for the gesture?
Mike shook his head.
That's where the stick part comes in. You tell that dried-up, waspy prick that if he takes one step in the direction of the cop house, or drops a dime, or whispers in the wrong ear, that what just happened to the girl and his kid will seem like a free weekend at Epcot. Tell him we'll dismantle his family fucking tree one son and daughter-in-law at a time. Then we'll start on the grandkids.
Mike, come on, I'm not going.
Yes, you are, Vic, Mike said.
He turned to Joe Breen.
Give Vic the envelope with the papers. I'm going out to dinner now, and I don't want to hear any more about this shit.
He walked out of the room. Joe Breen got out of his chair and handed Vic Prado a thick white envelope. He made that chuffing sound again and followed his boss out of the room.